Bueno, gracias al Señor, ya estamos también prestos a escuchar la palabra de Dios nuevamente. Qué bueno que podemos considerarla una vez más en este día. Amén. Nos gozamos en el estudio en Levítico. Gloria al Señor. Y cómo vemos cómo el Señor pretende atacar y estar en todas. Usted ha escuchado, ¿verdad? Hay gente que dicen, hay gente que es como el arroz blanco. They want to be in every place. Pues nuestro Dios is just like that. El Señor es como así, es así exactamente. Él quiere estar en toda parte de tu vida, en toda decisión, en todo asunto, en toda mirada, en todo dicho, en toda cosa oída, en todo quiere estar el Señor. ¿Por qué? Porque es bueno para ti y es la gloria para Él. Le damos gracias al Señor. So, ahora en esta hora queremos ver la palabra del Señor en Primera de Reyes 17. First Kings chapter 17. ¿Ok? Primera de Reyes 17. Y el tema que vamos a considerar brevemente es Dios provee. Dios provee tú para tu necesidad. Dios provee. The Lord provides for everything. Primera de Reyes 17, y vamos a leer, bendito sea el Señor, el verso 13 hasta el, bendito sea el Señor, hasta el 16. Verses 13 through 16, ¿ok? Y vamos a leerlos todos, todos juntos, ¿ok? Verso 13, let's read them all together, ¿ok? Dice así, Elías le dijo, no tengas temor. Ve, haz como has dicho, pero hazme a mí primero de ello una pequeña torta cocida debajo de la ceniza y tráemela. Después harás para ti y para tu hijo. Porque Jehová Dios de Israel ha dicho así, la harina de la tinaja no escaseará, ni el aceite de la vasija disminuirá. Hasta el día en que Jehová haga llover sobre la faz de la tierra. Entonces ella fue e hizo como le dijo Elías, y comió él y ella y su casa muchos días, y la vasija de la tinaja no escaseó, ni el aceite de la vasija menguó, conforme a la palabra que Jehová había dicho por Elías. Amén. Vamos a orar. Señor, en esta hora te pedimos tu bendición para lo que vamos a predicar, tu palabra, y que nuestro corazón sea receptivo, oh Señor, a ella, y que pueda entender, Señor, el deseo que tú tienes de proveer y de cuidar de tus hijos, Señor. Te lo pedimos todo en el nombre de Jesús. Amén. Nos podemos sentar. Me visite. So, hace un rato estábamos hablando de y orando por Elijah, ¿verdad?, que es el nombre que le va a poner nuestra hermanita Sara y Luis al niño, ¿verdad? Y ahora estamos hablando de Elijah también, el Elijah de la Escritura. En Primera de Reyes 17, in the chapter that we just read, we read about Elijah. Now, the thing is that these times that are described in chapter 17 of Kings are pretty much the same times that we are passing through today. We can argue that we have a secular government, okay, that sometimes they make us think that they have the fear of God in them, but most of the decisions actually demonstrate otherwise. So the same was happening with King Ahab, con el rey Acab, según está descrito aquí. And if you were reading the previous chapters, you would find out that not only Ahab, but also his wife, Jezebel, okay, was even worse than him. So on those times were the times that the Lord called Elijah to preach and to be a servant and to be, you know, a demonstration of God's will and God's grace, okay, through Elijah in a more ways than one. Now, what happened was that the people in a town, in a country, in a nation, they can go about their ways in any way they like. But eventually, they will have to face and give some reason about their, you know, actions or thinkings or belief or whatever that is to the Lord Himself. In this case, He shows Elijah to be exactly that messenger and that deliverer of what was about to happen. And in the first verse, Elijah comes up to Ahab and tells him that there wouldn't be any rain, not even any dew, until the Lord said that there would be any. So that, you know, that recipe, like we call it in Spanish, esa receta, ese designio, se lo dio Elías de parte de Dios a Acab. No va a llover y no va a haber rocío, sino por mi palabra, dijo Jehová, punto. Bendito sea el Señor. Y de ahí, eso fue lo que le dijo a Acab. That was all that was told to Ahab. There won't be any rain or any dew until I say. That was what the Lord said. Now, you can say, okay, that we know, and that was to be expected. Because you can only do so much in your own ways until the Lord catches up with you. So that was what was happening with Ahab. The people of Israel was supposed to be the people of the Lord, right? But in this time, when we read in Kings, especially in these chapters, it was actually going otherwise. Okay? They were worshipping Baal, and Astoreth, and all these pagan idols that the nations that were their neighbors were actually worshipping. So they took upon themselves to worship them too. And they left the true God just for the reason of following their own beliefs and their own desires. So that people is the people that actually came to be in front of the Lord and heard the word from Elijah. Now, no rain, no dew, until I say. So initially, everything was pretty cool. Everything was pretty nice. Okay? But the Lord knew that eventually things were going to be getting pretty, pretty bad. Pretty bad shape. There wouldn't be any food, because no water means no food. No food means a lot of sickness, a lot of want, a lot of problems. Okay? Within the people. But we won't focus on what was happening to the people. We will focus on four trials that the Lord bestowed upon Elijah, and how those trials are parallel to whatever we can be passing through today. Because we were just alluding this morning about the recession, or somebody calls it depression, that we are passing through. And you, more than anyone, can know that, especially, we have a lot of people here that are that are retired already. They have a fixed income, right? So that's nice, have a fixed income. The only thing that is not fixed is the cost of living, right? The cost of living is shooting up, up, and up, and up, and up. And we were just joking a few weeks ago. We have a saying, a local proverb, that when things get bad, the eggs would be at a quarter each, you know? There used to be, and we say, wow, los huevos se van a poner a peseta, the eggs will be at a quarter each. Well, now we can no longer say that, because the eggs are virtually at a quarter each. So we got into that point. Gracias. Yeah, it's about 260 per dozen, right? And going up, right? So a lot of people are asking, now who can help me out? What's going to be the end of all this? And it could be a tendency, even among God's people, you know, to become, you know, scared, to become disoriented, or to even become, you know, giving ways to thinking about some ways or methods to actually overcome the situation. But see, what God told Elijah to do, not only was to tell Ahab what was about to happen, so that they would know that all the drought that would come was not by chance. It was sent by the Lord. Now, what happened then to Elijah? Because whatever happened to the land, affected him too, because he was living among them. Okay? So people say here in Puerto Rico, say, oh, nothing can, you know, I will suffer nothing. Nothing will happen to me because I am a children of God. And that is true. But you still pay a quarter for reject. They won't give you a 10-cent discount just because you belong to the Independent Baptist Church. Okay? So the Lord still needs to provide. Y créanme, las cosas no se van a poner más fácil. Eso lo estamos viendo en todo lugar. I'm seeing that in every place. At work, here, right in front. I can, been there for almost 20 years, I can testify of the fat cow years and the thin cow years, which we are about going right now. And a lot of people we knew are no longer there. A lot of people that had drive, they don't have any drive in them anymore. Okay? And a lot of the services and, you know, accessorial services and all that, they're gone. The next thing we're going to have to do there is do our own financial and economic analysis, because the finance group is gone. They just disbanded them last week. Okay? So, meaning that things are not what they used to be many years ago. And if it's part of a cycle, some people say it will eventually come up, but it's going like this. It comes up, but then it naturally is continuing to come down. I mean, things are not going to be looking much better. Okay? Now, that is the bleak premonition that abounds in all newspapers and the radio, and that's all you hear. Okay? Apart from the politics, you hear things are going sour. Sour. The pineapple is sour, like we say here. La piña está agria. And believe me, it will continue to be sour for a lot of people if you don't trust the Lord. That was, so that the central point in this story is not Ahab. Ahab misbehaved, and Jezebel was even worse. And that's why they endured this drought. Because it wasn't only Ahab and Jezebel, it was the whole nation. Now, this nation was about to undergo that, se me pasa esta palabra, that we can call it punishment, okay? But it was a major trial for a lot of people, because we can't say that at least some of them trusted the Lord, including Elijah. But the focal point here is Elijah. Notice the second and third verses. Okay? This is the first trial, okay? And if we may, let's read until verse 6, okay? It says, vino a él, dice el verso 2, vino a él palabra de Jehová diciendo, apártate de aquí, vuélvete al oriente, okay? Y escóndete en el arroyo de Kerit, que está frente al Jordán. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Go eastward, okay? Pasa más allá del Jordán. Y allá vete al arroyo de Kerit, que está frente al Jordán. Y el verso 4, verse 4, says, beberás del arroyo, y yo he mandado a los cuervos que te den allí de comer. Y él hizo conforme a la palabra de Jehová, pues se fue y vivió junto al arroyo de Kerit, que está frente al Jordán. Y los cuervos, verse 6, y los cuervos le traían pan y carne por la mañana, y pan y carne por la tarde, y bebía del arroyo. Okay? The first trial for Elijah was to trust the Lord, even though there's going to be drought pretty much immediately in every place. He told him, go eastward and go towards a place. It was a Wadi Kerit, a Wadi spring, the brook, okay, un riito. And he stayed there in order to use the water. But what about the food? What about the food? Who will be providing food? So the Lord provided food. The only thing Elijah had to do was to trust him and obey him. In the same way that Abraham did, when the Lord told him, go out of your house and your family and come out to the place I'm going to show you. But he didn't show it to them yet. And it took many, many years of walking with God and walking in faith until Abraham exactly found out the many ways in which the Lord showed his grace to him. The same applies here for Elijah. So Elijah came out, went eastward, and did exactly the same as he was told. And he found this brook, and he was drinking water, and look, the way that the Lord provided for his food. He told, okay, los cuervos, es lo más raro del mundo, the ravens. Okay, the ravens were bringing him food. The only thing that is awkward here is that the ravens are not supposed to bring food to anybody. They take food away. Okay? So, and there is some local folklore says that we have a small black bird. Some people say it's a relative of the raven. It's not true, genetically. Okay? They are more family of the cardinals. But in the way they behave, they can be cousins to the raven. Because these blackbirds, they steal the dog food, the cat food that you put out. They eat up and hog away all the bird food, if you have any, outside your home. It's supposed to be like, you know, everybody can come and eat in peace and leave something for your neighbor, kind of thing for the birds. But these blackbirds, they eat up everything. And they spoil the water. They put the food in the water and spoil everything. They it's like pirates. I mean, they come and eat up and destroy everything and leave nothing for nobody. The same thing that the ravens did. So these ravens were supposed to be scavengers. I mean, that's a fine word for people that actually steal and don't earn what they eat. So that's what they did. But notice how the Lord used these ravens to actually do otherwise and bring him food. So the Lord was showing to Elijah that he can provide in the most awkward and unexpected ways for his children. Everybody was thirsting, but he had a brook just for himself. Everybody was looking for food, scavenging for food, scrambling for food, but he had the food brought to him. You notice how it is? In the morning and in the afternoon, they brought him pan y carne, bread and flesh. I don't see him asking, where did the bread come from? Or where did the flesh or meat come from? The Lord was providing that through the ravens. Okay? The only thing that is peculiar here is that Elijah didn't say, oh, I'm used to eat the food. It could be chicken in certain, and I like the thigh of the chicken. I don't like the breast. And he wasn't being picky about what the Lord was providing him. If the ravens were bringing it to him, it should have been pretty small pieces. And the ravens had them in the mouth or the claws already. And I mean, he could be asking, I wonder where was this piece of meat before? I mean, he could be asking about that. I mean, he could have been picky. Okay? But our part in what the Lord provides is to be grateful and to be obedient. It's not to be picky. Okay? So we will find, and we already know, but we do know, and we'll find out and we'll ratify by reading some verses at the end of this message, that the Lord provides. But sometimes we have some requirement or specifications, and it doesn't work that way with the Lord. The Lord would provide. That's what we need to believe and to live as if we believe it. Elijah was called upon that. I mean, he knew that he could trust the Lord, but now he was being moved into trusting the Lord. And this, in this first trial, we see some awkward ways. The ravens providing to Elijah. It should have been otherwise. But who's the only one who can change things and can make things actually provide for his people? The Lord is the only one who can. Now, so, okay, I am passing this trial. The Lord is providing with me, I mean, to me, with this brook and the raven. and everything is going very well, everything, I could be here all my life. Probably Elijah saw. But eventually, you read in verse 7, pasado algunos días se secó el arroyo. The brook dried up. Porque no había llovido sobre la tierra. It wasn't raining at all. So because there was no rain, there was no water to trickle down, the brook dried up. So the water was gone. And eventually, doesn't mention here, but apparently, there weren't any other ravens, any more ravens actually providing him food. So the Lord provided for certain days, certain period, in a certain way, and now he was about to try Elijah a second time, a second way, because he needed to actually learn a few things about how the Lord provides and how the Lord behaves. So he went on, and in verse 8, the word of God came down again and told him in verse 9, levántate y vete a Sarepta de Sidón. Arise and get thee to Sarepta, which is, on the north side of Galilee, west north of Galilee. Y mora allí. Y he aquí, yo he dado orden allí a una mujer viuda que te sustente. I have commanded the widow woman there to sustain thee. So we were talking about the ravens, which were the most unexpected providers for Elijah. And now the Lord is calling upon a widow to actually sustain Elijah. And the widows of that time were not the widows of this time. Okay? We can certainly complain about a few institutions of the government. But one thing that is very good in providing are the pension plans, the social security, and all the other helps that we have, right? Those are a blessing. But in those days, there were none of those. So the widows were very poor and very destitute and were among the poorest people that you could find. They had a hard time supporting themselves, let alone thinking about supporting their child, or thinking about supporting a full-grown, heavy-duty man like Elijah was. But that was the case here. So what did the Lord tell Elijah? Go into a widow, and she will support you. And not only a widow, if you take a look closer at the place, Sarepta de Sidon, it was a heathen place. It was a city, it was a pagan city, out of the Israeli domain. It was out of the Lord's nation. It was a pagan city, okay, which worshipped a lot of the same gods, idols, that Israel happened to be worshipping at the same time. Only that these people had never known the Lord before. Okay? Sarepta de Sidon. And if you recall, the Lord Jesus in his ministry, he made a small parenthesis. And he went into Tyre, that's Tyre, and Sidon. Okay, he went into those two cities. They were coastal cities, the Mediterranean Sea. And they were known for their earthly ways. Okay, there was a lot of sin among those. A lot of immorality, a lot of sin of hate, a lot of killings, they were very, very unlawful in those places. And that's the place where the Lord sent Elijah. He could have provided for him in one of the cities of Israel. And he could have provided for him through one of the people in Israel that certainly had a sizable amount of money. But he decided for Elijah to go to a widow of a foreign country for her to support him. Somebody who didn't believe the same as he believed, and who certainly didn't have anything to actually support him with. So he was trying Elijah in those specific days a second time. Okay? If we parallelize that today, we can say that even though the Lord has been provided for us in the way that we know has been provided, we have our jobs, we have our employment, we have our pension plans, we have you know, our self-employment, our, you know, our profession. But the Lord can provide through different ways. The only thing we need to know is two things. One thing that took place here was that the Lord didn't provide for Elijah in the same place every time. He was moving. And the Lord asked him to move. It doesn't mean that we need to move all the time. It only goes to show that the Lord may have different ways, different times, from His different children. In this case, did he obey the Lord or not? He did. And eventually he came out, okay, and moved away. Eventually, now he went east before to the brook, and now he went, okay, northwest, until he came into Sarepta, and came into that city to find out that woman. And if you read on verse 10, dice, entonces él se levantó y fue a Sarepta. He arose and went to Sarepta. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Le pidió que le trajera agua. Y el 11 dice, and she was going to fetch it. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Okay? He was hungry. And he should have, because, I mean, it should have taken him many days to get to Sarepta. And he didn't have any drink because the brook was dry. And the ravens apparently didn't bring him any food. So he was very, very thirsty and very hungry. And then we saw the widow. He said, this is the widow that the Lord told me that would provide for me. So I'm going to ask her for water, and I'm going to ask her for bread. And that he did. Okay. And in verse 12, we find the widow's reply. Okay, this is the second trial for Elijah. He said, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, or a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and then die. Okay? It was plain and simple. The widow told him, I don't have even for myself or my son. And these sticks, estos palitos that I'm gathering now, I just, for lighting a fire, for cooking up the last portion of flour we have to make up some bread, and use up the little oil we have, eat up the bread, and then lie down until we die of hunger. Las cosas estaban serias, 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 bien malas. Things were not any better in Sarepta. So the thing is, that if the drought started someplace around in Israel, because we're talking about Ahab, king of Israel, around Samaria sometime, eventually it crept up into pretty much all the region. So probably there were many months already into this drought, or probably years. So there was nothing to eat in any place. The thing was going from bad to worse. And now this widow was being asked by Elijah to provide for him. And she told him, we don't have anything else, we're going to be dying soon. So if we are going to be dying soon, so are you. You're going to be dying soon. So this is the second trial. Elijah could have thought, oh, now the provider that the Lord is asking me is actually needing more help, okay, than anyone else. And it's not in a position of her to feed me, but actually I may have to do otherwise. So what gives you? I need support. And the Lord promised me some support. That is certainly, I mean, that is a natural thing that could come up in everybody's mind. I mean, how can a widow support me? How can somebody from an unknown country, foreign country, actually support me? I mean, she doesn't know me. She doesn't know who I am. She doesn't even worship the same God I do. So there is no connection of family, no connection of nationality, no connection of faith, no connection of anything
And it is highly improbable that a widow can actually provide for anything else other than herself. Those are very natural things to think and to hold in one heart until the reason actually comes into you. Now, it is not evident that Elijah actually think of anything else other than keep on trusting the Lord. If the Lord had provided the first time, and he asked him to do that first time, and now he's asking to do something else, and he will provide, then Elijah is trusting the Lord that he will provide. And I say this because it sounds logical, that we may have been very, very aware of the way that the Lord was providing for us in a certain and specific way, a certain and specific period of our life. And then the Lord is moving us to another place, another direction, another job, another mission. And sometimes we mistrust the Lord because things are changing. And things are not the same way they were before. And things are going to be that I don't know where I'm going. I don't know the people. And I don't know a lot of things. And it's the same with Elijah here. The thing is that if you trusted the Lord for the first time, why are you not going to trust him the second time or the third time or the fourth or the fifth? Okay? And we need to make sure we understand that the Christian life is a life of faith. Okay? It's a life of faith in every sense. You are not providing for yourself. The Lord is providing for you. Everything you have, the Lord gave you. Everything you will have, the Lord would provide you with that. Now he's providing for Elijah. The problem is that this widow doesn't seem like a provider at all. But he didn't do anything else. Only this that we read here. The second trial of Elijah, okay, was about to step up without any resolution to a third trial. And this third trial was a joint trial. It was a trial for him and a trial for the widow. Let's read verse 13. He said, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make sure thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of milk shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." So this third trial, the second being, leave the brook and go north and fetch that widow. She will provide for you. He did. He trusted the Lord. Now the Lord gave him a third trial. Lord, this widow doesn't have anything to give me, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to ask her to do one thing for me, which will be one trial for her too. What did he ask her? Go ahead as if nothing was happening. I mean, he didn't pay any attention to the fact that there was almost no flour, almost no oil, and almost no sticks or whatever, almost no hope, nothing. He told her, go out, okay? Don't be fearful. Don't have any fear. Trust, in other ways. And go out, but the first thing you do, do exactly like you say, but that first piece of bread, bring it to me. Okay? And of course, it should have included some water. But bring that first meal to me. And then you go and do what you wanted to do for your son and for you. But if you find out and you take a piece of paper and a pencil and you start calculating, if there was not enough for her and for her son, how was she about to feed herself and the son if she was about to give everything she had to Elijah? I mean, it didn't add up. And the thing is that the supply of the Lord doesn't add up at all. I mean, He provides in ways that are not meant to be calculated or summed up or make logic to us. Okay? And they are purposely done like that so that you don't think that because of some other happenings or some coincidence or some of, even worse, or some of your thinking, okay, and your intelligence or your wisdom or whatever it is, you're actually being wise or smart enough to provide for yourself. I mean, the smart thing that Elijah did was trust the Lord and do exactly like the Lord told. I mean, he was ignoring all the signs. Okay? He was ignoring all the signs. What signs? Oh, there was no water, there was no food, the widow was destitute, everything. But the Lord said, I will provide through this situation in this very specific way. And we may say, and we may come out to a point, that the dozen of eggs will be at $4. And they say, it's not cheap anymore to eat, like we said before, that a poor man's meal will be like rice with two eggs on top of it. Arroz con dos huevos a caballo. That's a poor man's meal. And it used to be that in the good old days, many years, I wasn't even born, people that didn't have any money used to come to a place, to any eating place, and if they didn't have enough money, they would ask the servant, dame dos huevos a caballo, shy, so that people on the side wouldn't hear him and mock him because he didn't have enough money to buy some meat around with the rice. Dame dos huevos a caballo. And, you know, the servant will come and order the cook some rice, white rice with two eggs fried on top. Have you ever, and beans on the side, have you ever had that? I mean, it can be a poor man's meal, but sure, I mean, that is good. Have you had that? You should have that before you go. White rice with two fried eggs on top and some beans on the side. That's a poor man's meal. But I was about to say that it may no longer be. Because of the eggs and the rice and everything is rising. I mean, that could be like a millionaire's snack, more likely. But be it like that, or be anything as scarce as it can be, it may come to a point that you don't know where you will find your food, where you will provide, and whatever you can do with your life. But that's completely okay with the Lord. He will provide. And I can say this because He's providing for us right now. Okay? He's providing for us. And He will provide through it all. The only thing we need to do is trust Him. Okay? And believe Him for what He is, for what He has done. Okay? That's the same thing Elijah did. So he ignored all the signs that were telling him otherwise and told her, go out and prepare me some bread and bring me some water, and then go out and do the same for you and your son. And what did she do? She did exactly the same as she was told. And take into account here that most likely she hadn't heard about the Lord God of Israel before. And if she had, she didn't serve Him. There was nobody probably serving Him in that town. And now comes this man that claims to be a man of the Lord of Israel, and he's asking her, who doesn't have anything to do with him, to provide for him. Ask him to trust him. And now this lady trusts him. And she trusts and goes into her kitchen, fetches, that flour, the oil, makes some bread, cooks it with the sticks that she fetched from the ground at the entrance of the city, cooks the bread, takes the water, and goes out to Elijah. Now when she comes to actually prepare that food for her and her son, there was still some flour and some oil in that face in that container. And it just, I mean, the beauty of the word of the Lord is that it doesn't tell you what was happening to her or her heart. But we can only imagine, as she was giving Elijah the bread, all that she had, that was the trial, all that she had, he was giving it to a stranger, to a man that one could think, I'll never see him again. And probably I had given him everything I have, and there's nothing else at home. But if that was the case, okay, because there are some people arguing that that was the case, that was what was actually on her mind, I think otherwise. Because she didn't have any obligation to give him anything. She could have told him, go out and, are you from here? You don't belong here. Go back to your nation. Go back to your country and let me be. Because I already said it. There is no food for me and my son. We're going to die anyway. So let me be. But she believed. She trusted. And she became a vessel. She became a tool in the Lord's hand. And provided for him. And provided for her. And miraculously, the flour didn't go out. Neither the oil. Flour and oil. Flour. I'm sure that it was not that the vase was filled with flour. And I'm sure that the oil was not overflowing. It was that, like the manna, she picked up whatever they needed to use that day. She cooked some oil. And then, whenever she fetched into that vase, there was something to be found. But it wasn't that, I have like 10,000 of them filled in my, you know, in my stores, back the back door, so I don't have anything to fear. It was a life of faith. Every time was a trial. Every time she was to cook, I'm sure she would fetch into that vase and find that there was flour and find that there was oil. And water too. Nothing is told about the water. But apparently, the Lord was providing very, very nicely with water too. So everything was being prepared, everything was being done according to the Lord's will. So, through that third trial, and through the first trial of this woman, God was providing in a miraculous way. And He always do. Now He was providing, and He was still provide. There was another trial to come. As if it wasn't enough. Okay, everything was going very well. The Lord is providing. I mean, Elijah had already moved twice, and he had tried him thrice, and now he was trying this woman. Now the Lord would try him yet another time, and would try her yet another time. Okay? And you can say, but weren't things hard enough or bad enough for the Lord to be trying people? But believe me, look into it this way. If everything was peachy, if everything was like a very abundant, everything, everywhere, I mean, is that a trial for anyone? That's what we say here in Puerto Rico. I mean, who can you name someone that goes hungry here in Puerto Rico? No. I mean, if you look and you do your homework, you can find a lot of things in Puerto Rico. You can find everything here. You can find a job. Everybody eats here. Okay, things are going very well, apparently, until the last few years everything is streaming down in the economy. And the same thing can be said for most of the country. I mean, at least this hemisphere, North, South America, Central America, and the Caribbean. Okay, the economies are shrinking. So that's a trial for everybody. It's like the drought here we saw in Israel. And the people of God are living in the same place as the people that not trust the Lord are. So we are passing through the same hardship, if we may call it that way, that they were passing. But the difference is made whether you trust the Lord or not. Okay? It's not that you, I attend church. Okay? I am a churchgoer, like they say. But that is not what I mean. You trust the Lord or you just attend church, because there are different things. Okay? People can sit there and be happy for themselves, just happy to be here, they can say. But it's one thing, just happy to be here, or it's a different thing, trusting the Lord. And trusting the Lord in the way that Elijah did. Okay? Providing even in the face of being completely tested. Could the Lord have tried Elijah enough? Or the widow? Not yet. There was another trial. We'll find out. In this fourth trial, we go to verse 6, 17 in this case. Everything was going very well. There was bread. There was no variety to the diet, but there was bread. And there was water. And you would say, isn't that what they traditionally give to people that are in prison? I heard in a Bible class many years ago, one of the students goes, hey, but the Lord is giving him prison food. What do you mean by prison food? You know, but traditionally they joke that in the prisons, not in these days prisons. So I think that they eat better than we do sometimes. But what used to be the prisons of before, of many years ago, they gave bread and water, bread and water, bread and water. So the Lord is giving Elijah and the widow and her son bread and water, bread and water, bread and water. But believe me, there were a lot of people that weren't having any bread and water or anything and were literally dying. Like, what happened when there wasn't any water or there wasn't any bread? Did the government came in and help them out? No. Did some relief fly out in an airplane and left something? No, they threw something in a parachute? No. Did the foreign nations actually came in, you know, in an expedition and fed them? No. What happened? People died. And died in large numbers. And eventually, all that dead people eventually brought a lot of disease. And that's where the plague and the epidemic started. So everything was compounded. And that was what's happening here in Israel and in north of Israel, as we say. And the Lord was about to try them for a fourth time in these very special days. Verse 17. He said, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. The child was dead. No breath means he wasn't breathing. He wasn't breathing because he was dead. The child died. Apparently, because of the same thing that I am telling you, because of the conditions of the drought and the epidemics, probably, it's very probable that this child actually got sick because of that, because of the very, very unhealthy conditions around in those days. So he fell sick. Died. Everything was going well until this kid died. And the widow came in verse 18 and said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And that is something that relates a lot to us. If you see, she is actually declaring and making sure that it's known and stating that she was a sinner. And because of her sin, she was expecting to be called to terms by the Lord. And now this time, she must have learned through many days, many months, many weeks of provision to trust the Lord God of Israel. And I'm sure that Elijah was teaching about the Lord's ways to her and to her son. Because the blessing of the Lord is not only to provide her with food, because there is a much more important provision that he needs to make into you. And it's actually to trust him, to live for him, and to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Now in these days, that is the case. A lot of people are looking only for the earthly provision, but they are not looking for the eternal provision. And that is our mission, to actually make them aware that there is a much better provision to be made by the Lord. But now in this case, she knew, I'm sure, she knew about the Lord God of Israel and how He was a provider and how He was powerful to do whatever He wanted to do. It didn't matter what the conditions were. And her son dies. Now she claims whether that death was because of her sins. Okay? And whether the actual true mission of Elijah was to come down, happening all everything that had happened, all to the point that it was about to be brought down to a certain specific way for her to know how bad she had behaved before. And because of that, the punishment was for the son to die. That was what was in her mind. Okay? And we know that the Bible says, okay, about the Lord seeking payment for sins into the third and the fourth generation for those that do not love Him. Okay? We know that. In certain places, many places, the Bible actually tells us that. I mean, she didn't know about that. And recall that that statement from the Lord is about people that hate the Lord. People that abhor me, los que me aborrecen. La tercera y la cuarta generación de los que me aborrecen. Now she was trusting the Lord already. And I'm sure she became to fear and trust and believe in the Lord God of Israel, who was actually providing for her. And make sure that not only Elijah would live, but that her and her son would be living as well. Now, through this trial, it is very evident that she knows about this God who not only provides, but actually calls people to terms and is not tolerant of sin. And when she finds out that her son dies, that's the first thing that comes to her mind. And it should be the first thing that comes to our mind too. In the same way that the widow, it happened to the widow. Okay? You should never take anything for granted. Okay? People here in Puerto Rico say, oh, la cosa es tan buena. Después que haya salud, usted lo tiene todo. As long as there is health, I mean, you can ask for anything more, for anything else. That's a local saying, loosely translated. So, la gente aboga mucho por la salud. La gente aboga mucho por la comida, la gente aboga mucho por el bienestar, la gente aboga mucho por la calidad de vida, la gente aboga mucho por tantas cosas. Nothing that you have, you are worth of. It's only through the grace of God that you have. And the widow needed to learn that. And as you find out, Elijah would have to learn too. Okay? So that this is the reason for this fourth trial. I mean, could they believe that the Lord would provide? Could Elijah believe that the Lord would provide every time? Yeah, He had provided for him twice. Had been tried three times, provided for him twice. Would the widow believe that the Lord provided? Yeah. She was being provided to by the Lord. Not only her, but actually her son and Elijah as well. And now comes this other trial that has to go beyond every dream, every single thought. And when everything was very well, things go the other way because the Lord has purpose. And now what happened here after the boy was left without any breath in him? What did Elijah do? Did he explain, give her a theology lesson or anything similar to that? You notice that Elijah was a man of few words. Okay? He was actually a man of a lot of action, but actually a man of few words. And in a lot of ways, he was very, very parallel to Moses. Okay? You can see that through all these trials, you can see the actual temperance and the trust in the Lord. And being meek, manso. Okay? He was very, very keen to be driven by the Lord and not otherwise. The same with Moses. Okay? So Moses went through a lot of trials. And in every one of them he was faced The same is happening to Elijah. And Elijah will be representing the voice of God to the people that Moses had actually taken out of Egypt. You see? So they have a parallel, strong, very strong parallel. There is yet another parallel that ties them up in the New Testament. If you recall the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus, who were the ones who transfigured with them in that mount? Moses and Elijah. Okay. Some people say that they will be the ones that will be the two witnesses in the Revelation chapter 11. It could be. The dos testigos in Apocalipsis. It could be Moses and Elijah. Some people call that it could be Enoch, because he didn't die. And Elijah didn't die either, because Elijah was taken up into heaven. It could be Moses died too. Okay? But the body of Moses was never found. The Lord took the body away. So whether he was actually, he left the earth and there was technically dead, or the Lord took him and put it some other place, we'll never know. We'll find out when we get there. Okay? But the thing is that Moses and Elijah had a lot of parallel. And now he was being tried for the fourth time. And in this case, what did he do? He told the widow, bring thy son. Give me thy son. Bring him here. Okay, and he took him out of her bosom. Apparently the kid was in her hands. And he took it into a loft where he abode. He was living in the second floor, apparently. And laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down to the of the chamber into the house, and delivered him into his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Aquí está tu hijo, ¿ves? Está vivo. ¿Ves? Mira, le dijo, tu hijo vive. Ese asunto, mira, en español especialmente, es como da la sensación de no de sorpresa, sino de cuando uno está sorprendido y agradecido y como maravillado, es la palabra, maravillado, marvel at what the Lord had already done. See, I believe, I trusted the Lord, I prayed to him 3 times, and I knew that the only God that could actually bring him to life was the Lord God of Israel. And he did. And look, your son lives. So now the Lord is providing in wholly different ways than what he was providing before. Not only food, not only water, not only shelter, but also providing for life as well. And doing things that nobody else can do. Now, if we keep on reading through that last verse, we find the reason and the true blessing of all these trials upon this woman. Take a look at verse 24. It says, entonces la mujer le dijo a Elías, and the woman said to Elijah, ahora conozco que tú eres varón de Dios. Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, y que la palabra de Jehová es verdad en tu boca, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. ¿Qué era? ¿Que no conocía la palabra del Señor antes? Sí, conocía. Pero mire, hermanito, the thing is here, that your faith needs to grow every time, every day, every day, every day. And how is that accomplished? Oh, that is accomplished. The Bible says that our faith grows by reading the Bible and by living the Bible. But what the Bible tells us, and what tells us to live, is actually trusting the Lord every time. Los que confían en Jehová no tendrán necesidad de ningún bien. those who trust the Lord would never be wanting or needing anything ever. That's what the Bible tells us, promises us. So when we read the Bible, study the Bible, and we live by the Bible, by what the promises of the Lord are, our faith grows. And it keeps on growing. But remember that for anything to grow, especially faith, it needs to be stronger and stronger and stronger, meaning that you would need to believe things that you didn't believe a year ago. So the woman believed that the Lord could provide flour and oil. But now she believed that the Lord could even give life and take life and do whatever He wanted to do. That's why she said, Now by this, by what? By having my son dead and now living. By this I know that you are a man of God. Y que solamente that God is the true God, the only one that can make things happen. Okay? And that everything that you tell is true. Meaning that she was obviously being told by Elijah about the true God of Israel and the ways of the true God of Israel and everything that He had promised. But only through faith and trust in the Lord can everything be it can solidify in your heart in a way that you can trust the Lord then, and whenever you come to the same thing again, you will trust Him then and more and more and more. So what this story is telling us, okay, is that no matter how things look to us, in our lifetime reality, in our everyday life reality, it doesn't matter how they are, whether they are tough days or slow days or bad days or whatever they are. Okay, as the people of the land actually say, it doesn't matter, the Lord will always provide what you need. Okay? But one thing that we need to find out and we need to realize is that the Lord provides in the ways that He understands are the best for you. It doesn't mean that they are the ways that you would like the most. Okay? They are two different things. What He promises is that He will provide. He provided for Elijah. But one thing you need to know is that He will provide, and then you have to abide. Okay? But that He's providing actually for you. If you go into Philippians 4, okay? Now transporting this into our everyday life. Philippians 4, verse 6, and then we'll read verse 19. Okay? 6 and 19 of Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 6, Philippians 4, 19. And it dice esto, la palabra del Señor. Dice el verso 6, dice, por nada estéis afanosos, dice, be careful for nothing. Sino sean conocidas vuestras peticiones delante de Dios en toda oración y ruego con acción de gracias. Dice, for in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgivings let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Por nada estéis afanosos. Now if we go into verse 19. Okay, complements what is being said here. Dice, mi Dios, pues, suplirá todo lo que os falta conforme a sus riquezas en gloria en Cristo Jesús. For my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I ask you, how rich is our Lord? Is He by any chance like the widow of Sarepta? Not by any chance, right? How was the blessing and the authority and the name that was bestowed upon the Lord Jesus when He came back to heaven after He gave His life for us? In this very same letter is described for us in chapter 2 of Philippians, right? He named Him a Lord over, a name over every name, and a power over every power, and a provision over everything. I mean, He's provided to Jesus because He was faithful and He was obedient. So the Lord Jesus is exactly that. He is ever and forever powerful and all powerful, and He is able to provide for us. Right? And that is what is being told here. Don't be careful for anything, but actually expect that the Lord would provide. Now, we have a mission to do, right? So the thing is that He is providing for us so that we don't need to be careful about how to provide for us, so that we more focus on the mission that He led into us, which is preach the gospel and at the same time live a life that glorifies Him in every sense of the word. Now, what Elijah was doing was exactly that. He was living a faith-led life, trusting the Lord, and the Lord was blessing him every single step of his way. We need to do the same. We need to continue doing the same. Okay? Now, we just prayed for three of you that are going to be undergoing an operation in the next few days, right? And we prayed that the Lord blesses each of these operations and all these medical treatments and whatnot, right? And the Lord certainly has the power, but you need to trust Him. You need to believe that He will. And you need to glorify Him for what He is. You can't come here, you can't come back here and say, oh, if it wasn't for that doctor, I wouldn't have come out of the operation room. Because there is only so much that the doctors can do. But the Lord is all powerful and He can do everything perfectly. I want you to come back saying, oh, I want to tell everybody in the church how the Lord provided for me during those days. And how everything turned out to be even better than the people surrounding me. And you don't need to feel bad about that, because that's the way the Lord provides. It was happening to Elijah. Elijah was eating, the widow was eating, the son was eating, and people were dying around him. So it applies. The word said, caerán a tu lado mil y diez mil a tu diestra. 1,000 would die here and 10,000 right here. But it won't come to you. A ti no llegará. Nothing will happen to you, and the Lord will provide for you. Okay? And I wanted to read, just one last verse in Salmo 37:25. Y con esto terminamos. Amén. Terminamos en el nombre del Señor. 37:25 de Salmos. Amén. Dice, joven fui y he envejecido. I have been young and now I'm old. Y no he visto justo desamparado. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Ni su descendencia que mendigue pan, nor his seed begging bread. Now I ask you, is that true or not? Well, yes, it is true. Okay? Now I ask you, has it ever been, or have you ever been completely destitute that you don't have anything to do, anything to eat, anything? Have you been wanting for that? No? We have been through very, very hard times. I recall when we were young, my father was still in college at that time. And things were not good. Things were scarce, but still plentiful. And you catch my meaning. Okay? We didn't go into the fridge and found out that we have 7 types of bread to choose from. We had one. But that one was plentiful. Okay? And if we wanted to eat chicken, we didn't have all different kinds of chicken and Cornish and chicken and turkey and whatever. We had plain old chicken, so plain old chicken was fine, and we ate chicken. And here we are. The Lord would provide in a lot of ways. He would even provide in ways that you didn't even thought of. Like in the way we are here. We have been gathering here for 4 years already now. Did it ever cross your mind that the Lord would do that? No. Not me. But He did. He had that in His purpose. Did you ever wanted your children to grow in a family of God? Not only your family, in a family of God that would be God-fearing, that would be leading your children in the Word of God, raising them all together so that they may end up being missionaries, servants of the Lord, good wives, good husbands, fearful people of the Lord. I mean, I had that in my mind every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, in those places that I gathered before, in other churches. And it wasn't happening. I didn't see that happening because of the way the people were around that. And it didn't cross my mind that the Lord would provide for us to be here at this age, doing exactly what we had in our heart. So the Lord was trying us. He said, okay, now I will provide you with that opportunity, and I want to try you to see if what you said was right and if you will hold the other side of the agreement. And I am very thankful for the Lord to let us be tried like that. And to this day we have been here, faithful, fearful, but we haven't done enough yet. Okay? So we need to keep on going. We need to keep preaching the gospel. We need to keep raising our kids in the fear of the Lord. Okay? And we need to keep on trusting the Lord every time of our life, every day, like Elijah did. Now I'm gonna ask you, okay, to think about this and think if this isn't rightly the very foundation of the Christian life. But the Christian life is not based on anything else other than faith in God alone, and that He will provide every single day every single thing that you needed, right? So this is exactly what the Lord is asking of us today. Let's stand in prayer and let's ask the Lord to look into our hearts. And if it happens to be that we are passing through some trials, let us strongly believe that those are for the best in us. Okay? And that we will come out of them even better than we were before. Because that is what happened to Elijah. I mean, every time he was passed through a trial, everything became much better for him. Because he learned to trust the Lord much, much, much more. Okay? Let's pray. Señor, en esta hora, estamos aquí pidiéndote, Señor, tu bendición para nosotros en este día. Dándote gracias, Señor, por todas tus misericordias, por todas tus maravillas y tu gracia que está sobre nosotros. Habernos dado, Señor, esta bendición de estar en tu casa en este día, escuchando tu palabra, escuchando a los hermanos, estudiando la misma, Señor, cantándote alabanzas, ofrendando y diezmando, Señor, permitiendo de esa forma, Señor, escudriñar tu palabra y que nuestra fe crezca, Señor, al estar aquí en tu presencia y considerar lo bueno que tú eres con nosotros. Gracias, mi Señor, por tanta bendición. Y ahora te pedimos que esta palabra, Señor, sea una realidad en nuestra vida, Padre. Que no la veamos como que es que a Elías le pasó, que a la viuda le pasó y que ellos son personajes de una historia extraña y lejana, sino que esa misma es nuestra vida, Señor. Que aprendamos a no estar afanosos, a no estar quejosos, que no estemos fijándonos en nada de esas tonterías, Señor, sino que nos fijemos, Padre Santo, siempre en tu provisión. Oh, Señor, mejor, tanto mejor es fijarnos en tu providencia que estarnos fijando en que las cosas están malas. Ayúdanos a confiar en que las cosas están malas, para tus hijos están buenas. Oh Señor, y que podamos tranquilamente la paz de Dios en nuestro corazón, siempre, 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 nos provea, Señor, de tu espíritu, la llenura, el gozo, la paciencia, la fe, Señor, la templanza, para andar esta vida, Padre. Te pido, mi Señor, así esa bendición para mis hermanos. Te pido una bendición para mi hermano Robert, que está con nosotros también. Gracias porque él está aquí. Gracias por su deseo, Señor, de participar, Señor, en la evangelización. Gracias por los materiales que Él nos ha dado, Señor, por los que Él quiere darnos también, Padre. Gracias por su trabajo. Permite que Él pueda hacer su trabajo, Señor. Bendícelo, Señor, acá en el Coast Guard, Señor, en todas las cosas. Oh, Padre, que Él pueda completar todo y su estadía aquí en Puerto Rico sea de bendición, Señor, y que tú le lleves con bien de vuelta a su hogar. cuando haya terminado todo, Padre Santo. Oh Señor, y en esta hora queremos pedirte que bendiga nuestro resto del día, que nos podamos gozar contigo, oh Señor, que podamos estar en paz, oh Padre Santo, y que recuerde, Señor, las plegarias que hemos hecho para cada uno, Señor, de los que van a ser operados en estos días. Que tú acompañes a Sara y a Luis, Señor, en la cesárea. Que tú acompañes a mi papá en la operación. Acompañe a la hermana Noelia, Señor, en la operación de ella también. Y que todo, Señor, sea para la gloria de tu nombre. Bendícenos, Señor, en esta semana. Trano de vuelta el martes, si es tu voluntad, estudiar la Biblia. Te lo pedimos todo, Padre Santo, y te damos gracias en el nombre de Jesús. Amén. Amén, amén. God bless you all. Que Dios les bendiga. Nos vemos el martes.